What a time. I felt the Holy Ghost come down here in worship. I came to encourage somebody. I came to bless somebody and lift somebody. Just give them a boost. Praise God. If you were here Wednesday night, oh my goodness. If you missed Wednesday night, I feel sorry for you. No, no. I'm sure things were happening in your life and you need to be where you were. But Brother Cody lit it up. Brother Dinkins lit it up. Man, it probably only used about 30-some minutes. But they ministered. Oh, praise God. Maybe 35 minutes. I don't know, maybe 40. We might have been extravagant. 40 minutes. But did they ever more help us? And I didn't realize that Cody was that funny. I didn't realize how he has the gift of humor. You know, there's amazing grace and there's amusing grace. And so he definitely has both of those working. He was talking about amazing grace, and while he was preaching on that, he had amusing grace working in him. Praise God. Let's honor God's word by standing. We're going to read one little verse. If you would stand with me, I want to thank God for his mercies on us. And what would we do? I'm telling you what, without his goodness, he is a good God. And please remember Angela, she called me. She was already dressed for church. She could barely talk. She could barely talk. But she had an army of us at her house yesterday, being a hostess with the mostess. And an amazing, God bless Brother Nevin and Angela, an amazing Sunday school training night. Oh, my. And we listened to Sister Julie Trapani teach us on a DVD, added to all the things that were already said. It was really, really a heartfelt, just a blessed time. Nahum chapter 1, right there in that little book that you don't hear a lot from very often. Probably should hear more from this book. The Word of God is, it's a treasure house. You know, it's like a store that's always open. If all the neglect, I'd like to say this. So here we go. You ready for this? This is one of my favorite statements about the Word. If all the neglected Bibles were dusted off simultaneously, the world would go into a record dust storm and the sun would be eclipsed for a week. If all the neglected Bibles were dusted off at the same time. Of course, now we've gone digital, so we'll have to figure out a new way to say that. Nahum chapter 1, verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger, and aren't you glad for that? He's slow to anger and great in power. How many of you discovered he's great in power? Great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. He's not schizophrenic. I have this little thing about the favorite color of a schizophrenic is plaid. It's plaid. Yet if you don't get that, see me after the altar call, okay? But he's, you know, it's just one of the 3 million things about him that I love. He's consistent. He is consistent. So, watch this though. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind. And in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. Now, this is a different way to look at, because you know and I know there's a spiritual rendition to this word storm, that it's not just talking about a weather forecast. Does it rain enough for anybody in here? I mean, I was pretty sure I didn't move to Portland because I used to live there. And I was pretty sure I didn't move to Seattle because I've been there many times. But they ain't got nothing on Columbus. When it comes to rain, they need to take lessons. This is one of the rainiest towns I've ever lived in my life. And Noah would be so proud of us. But I'm thanking God, whether it's raining or not, it's a great day. It really is. It's a great day. If you don't think it is, just try missing one of them. I'm just saying. Okay, it's a great day. That's what Zig Ziglar used to say. Just try, if you don't think it is a great day, just try missing one of them. I want you to really notice that phrase. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. We know that an immediate spinoff from the weather report is the fact that a storm speaks to us of trials and wrestling matches and struggles and difficult situations, minefields that we sometimes traverse. We call them storms. But this word says the Lord has his way in the whirlwind. He has his way in the storm. I want to give this a title that's a question. Can you operate in the storm? I would like that to just be something that's a challenge to our hearts. Because they're going to come to all of us. Jesus doesn't vaccinate you against storms. He doesn't vaccinate us against trouble. He insulates us. Oh, praise God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not. Thy word have I hid in my heart. He wants to insulate us, but not isolate us. All right. He doesn't say, okay, live for me and you'll never have another problem. Sometimes when somebody comes out of the world to live for God, comes into the church, that's when trouble really begins. It's kind of crazy. But all of us, they were going with the world. And I said this to the guys in the office. If you meet the devil in the middle of the day, remember it's a good thing because you're not going the same direction. You know, you meet the devil, you're not going the same direction as he's going. So there's something good about even running into the devil. It's a confirmation that you are not going the same direction as he's going. Oh, praise God. Can you, my question is today, can you, when you get in the middle of one of these crazy things called a storm, a trial, a valley, can you keep operating in Jesus? Can you keep functioning with praise and worship? Can you operate in the storm? Why don't we ask the Lord to talk to us? Would you do that with me right now, Lord Jesus? We receive your word, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful worship. Thank you, God, for the anointing of the Lord that's in this house. Thank you for your kindnesses, Lord, your mercies, Lord. Thank you for loving us like you do. We give you praise, Lord. Encourage somebody, bless somebody, heal somebody, Lord. In the midst of this, heal and bless and lift somebody, Lord. Would you clap your hands to the Lord and give him a little praise right now? You may be seated. A bunch of you guys, you wonderful people, and I do mean that. We have some amazing people in our church, and there's some more that are coming. A number of you lost your jobs all about the same time. And none of you backslid over. Almost every one of you has a brand new job. We've been having so many answers. Brother Joe, wave your hands. Brother Joe's one of our newer men. Used to be deputy sheriff, am I saying it right? And he's got this letter in his hand and he's so excited, Michelle. And he says, Pastor, look at this. He was wanting to get tied down a new job. He kind of retired, but retirement gets boring after a while. You know, you got to stay active. Joe's an active guy. And so he gets this letter, but he gets the letter telling him there's a job open for him, but he didn't even ask him for one. He gets a letter from somebody that he didn't even request a job from. And they're sending him this letter. And it's prayer night, and he's got this letter in his hand. It's my wife really capitalized on it. She's lead, you know, she's our prayer director. And he's got this letter, brings him up. And he just keeps saying, look at this. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Look at this. It's a miracle. As they say in the Deep South, it's a miracle. You know, I mean, it's a miracle. I mean, look at this. I didn't even ask these guys. They sent me this letter. Look at this letter. It's praise God. In the storm, you know, when you lose your job or when you give it up or walk away from it or however it happens, it can get frightening and get scary. But here's somebody, here's some folks sending him a letter. Hey, we got a job for you if you want one. Say, is that cool or what? I've got a preacher friend. Many of you know his name. So I want to tell you that Mike Wilson is probably one of my best friends. I mean, he's just a great guy. He pastors up here in a little town there around the Delaware area. Right there, you know, and kind of the upper crust. You know, one of them kind of upper crust places, you know. You know what the upper crust is, don't you? It's a bunch of crumbs stuck together with dough, a whole lot of dough. I'm sorry, you didn't get that. Okay, see me. Anyway, Jesus loves us all, and God bless everyone, but that's not an easy place maybe to pastor. And he said, they were going somewhere. They were on a plane. And he said, a storm came up. I'll never forget the storm that we ran into down near Atlanta. We got on a plane, and I believe that day there were some tornadoes or something. It was crazy. Anyway, we're doing this number. I got coffee, you know, like I'm holding on to the coffee. Like, you know, I believe in baptism by immersion, and I don't want to be rebaptized, and I'm trusting Jesus. And actually, we were headed for Atlanta, one of the busiest airports in the world, and the storm was so bad they shut down the airport. And we're still up in the air. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the airport that's closed now. And I'm trying to hold on to my coffee and trust God. And at a certain point, I thought, you know what? I think we're cashing everything in. I think, I don't know if we're going to survive this plane trip. So we just were chipper, and we were just, I mean, if you're going to go down happy. Hallelujah. If you're going to cash it all in, just, you know, have a good time in Jesus. I mean, because if you go down, you go up. I mean, praise God. So, you know, there's different ways of looking at this. And we made it, and we survived, but it was scary. But Brother Wilson says, in the middle, you know, this plane trip, this flight, they got into a storm, and he said they got bumped up to first class in a storm. Now go figure that one out. How does that work? I'm not sure. But I want to tell you that in the middle of your storm, if you will pass your test and stay faithful to God, he's going to bump you up to first class. He's going to bless you because you kept your spirit sweet. You kept your heart right. Can you? The divine question is, can you still operate in the storm? Does it mess you up? Now, when you look at the Bible, who is the most famous guy who got into a bad, bad, I mean treacherous, I mean heart-wrenching, bone-jarring storm? Job, who do we think about? Who? I hear two. And both of them are good guesses. And I could preach a little bit about Jonah, but there's a whole book dedicated to Job and his storm. I mean, the entire book. You say, so is the book of Jonah. No, it's not. It doesn't just tell about a storm. It tells about the revival that happened because he finally obeyed God. As a second thought. So, great story, though. But Job, the whole book is basically kind of like an enigma. The puzzle. Why do terrible things happen to good people? Because he was a good guy. He wasn't one of the bad guys. He was one of the good guys. The Bible called him perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible calls you perfect, you are perfect. Okay. He was a great man, a spiritual man, and had a walk with God, had a prayer life. It tells us about how he sacrificed for his kids in the morning so that they would be covered by the grace of God. Lest they curse God in their heart. He did not. Just, God, I want your blessing on my kids. An amazing man. And when you read Job chapter 1, all of a sudden he starts getting bad news. How many of you have ever understood or noticed that trouble comes in clusters? What's that number that we hear so often? 3. Okay, you've had 2 traumas. Hang on, Sally Sue. You got a third one coming. Just put your seatbelt on. There's one more, and then you fulfill that cluster. Now, there's no scripture on that, but some people think like that. I mean, when you read Job 1, somebody stand there and say, hey, listen, you know, the Sabaeans fell on your servants and killed them all and stole all the sheep. And how many sheep, Sister Gina, how many sheep did he have? Do you remember? He had 7,000. That's a lot of lamb chops. Somebody quoted Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. And if it were not so, I would have been lamb chops a long time ago. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's how they quoted that verse. The Lord is my shepherd, and if it were not so, I would have been lamb chops a long time ago. 7,000 sheep is a lot of mutton, a lot of lamb. Okay. Gone! Anybody know how many camels he had? Man, he had thousands and hundreds of oxen, and it was before one would get done speaking, the next guy was coming up to tell him the next bad news. And he was virtually going from a billionaire in those days, a billionaire, to poverty stricken. And if that wasn't bad enough, he's losing everything. And then there's another servant. And before, you know, trouble comes in clusters. There's no place there where you hear God, where you hear Job cuss, you know, or exclaim some profane statement, you know. You don't hear him doing that. And then the last news was that the wind blew upon this house and his kids were killed. 7 sons and 3 daughters. So now you got to remember this. He lost all his oxen. He lost all his camels. He lost all his sheep. Is that enough to put, you know, like, okay, all your cars are gone. The homes that you own, they're all, you know, tornado. Carried them away. You've been fired. Everybody's disowned you. And oh, by the way, the family that you had, they're gone too, except your wife. Was who was probably, how can I say this, Lord? Tell me that you love me.
I love you, I think.
I love you, I think. So the trial wasn't over because of his wife's big mouth and her bad attitude. But you can't find Job getting a bad attitude. And you know what? I think she was probably an amazing woman. It's a wonder she didn't shoot herself. It's a wonder she didn't shoot him. I mean, really? When all that's gone? I mean, really? Anything, even a piece of that can drive you crazy. How do you know that? Because I buried my only child. So, look at this man. So now I want to tell you, see, I want to ask Job a question. Hey, Job, can you operate in a storm? Because I can't find anybody in the Bible that went through quite what you went through, unless we talk about the Christ and the fact that he carried on himself all of our transgressions and sins. He, on the day he was crucified, became the biggest sinner of history and in the world on the day he was crucified. But apart from the living, wonderful Christ, I can't find anybody that went through quite what you went through, Job. Listen, same chapter, Job chapter 1, verse 20. This is what he said when he heard that his children were dead. Do you know how that would affect us? This is what he said. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, verse 20, and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Is that when you consider what he lost all in one almost breath, in one short day? This is what he had to say about it. He fell down. Why did he do this business here where it says he took his mantle and he tore it up? That was a sign of humility. Shaved his head, fell down upon the ground. What was he doing? He was humbling himself. You know what? Storms roll off the backs of people who humble themselves and jump in Jesus' lap. What a dude. You know, we have one little, we get cut off in traffic and all of a sudden we're ready to like lose the Holy Ghost. Somebody shares with us the digits on their hand in a traffic, you know, at least one of them. And all of a sudden, oh my Lord, have mercy. What, yeah. And we're just in a tizzy, you know, for several hours. The fact that somebody, you know, threw the bird at us, you know, and it's the most horrible thing that you could ever. And this guy lost everything but his wife, all his, lost them all in one day. And his response was, he knew you can have a storm come, but that doesn't mean it shuts you down if you don't let it shut you down. If you don't give permission to the storm. See, I'm submitted to God. I'm not submitted to the storm. I'm submitted to God. You don't have to quit, give up, even in your mind, in the storm. Can you hear that? Listen to Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. What does that mean? Lord, if you even take me out, this world and another world, I'm going to keep on trusting you. I'm going to maintain my way. What is he saying? I'm going to stay consistent. Sometimes half of life is maintenance. We were at that big building in Pensacola a few weeks preaching. Got to preach to about close to 1,100 people that morning. And that building is like, you could take this whole thing and put it in their foyer. When the storm hit them, did that damage, and I thought it was a few $1,000s. He said it took $650,000 to repair our building from that storm that came through Katrina. Thinking, wow. You know, he lost it all. He lost it all. But look at his attitude. How about Job 19, verse 25? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Verse 27, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. What are you saying, preacher, pastor, shepherd, man? I'm saying that this man had a walk with God that wasn't contingent upon the circumstances. He didn't let anything steal his joy. You know, the devil can't take your joy unless you give it up. I got three brothers in the flesh. When we were young, we used to wrestle a lot. And one of the deals that we'd get in is try to get each other to say uncle or I give, you know, get one of their arms bent, you know, kind of several different wrong angles, you know, behind him. And I would never, Allison, I would never say, I give up. I don't, they could take my arm off and ship it to Afghanistan. I didn't make any difference. I'm not saying I quit or I give up or uncle or aunt or grandpa or whatever. So I was blessed with physical strength, but also a lot of stubbornness. I'm not sure that's from you, Lord. I'm just, okay. So anyhow, sometimes that's what happens in these storms. You know, it's like, are you going to quit? No, get out of my way. I'm going to church. Praise God. Sister Liz Hyder, and if Nevin and Angela were here, they would brighten up right now. Why? Because Liz was the one driving to church in the winter in that little car, several kids, and there was no heater in the car. One of the great saints of that church, Sister Liz Hyder. I pastored her for 19 years. Amazing, amazing woman. Prayer warrior. A faithful, humble, sweet child of God. It didn't make any difference. They had to stop, I think, and scrape the windows every so often just to get to church because there was no heater in the car, but it didn't make any difference. She wanted to be in the house of God, and there she was. Listen to Job one more time, this man that had lost everything. Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What was he saying? I've been in the book. Hey, you know what? When the devil gives you a bad time, throw the book at him. Amen. Just throw the book at him. Just take your and throw the book at him. Woo! He said, I esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So I want to ask a question. You can help me answer it. Did this man know how to operate in the storm? Did he? I'd give him better marks than pretty well. Because I don't think there's anybody in this house that could outdo what Job did with you having the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. He had no Holy Ghost dwelling in him because it wasn't for that time. It wasn't yet. Jesus had not been crucified and risen from the dead and sent back the Holy Ghost as an experience, the baptism of the Spirit. They didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost available to them. The Spirit of God moved on them. He moves within us. We have an advantage. We have a great advantage. And you got me so excited. Look, I just preached my sleeves unbuttoned. This happens every once in a while here. Woo-hoo, run up here and button my sleeve as I keep on preaching. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in a storm, you guys, but I'm still preaching. You heard Brother Jeff Arnold talk about he went through the storm of his life. He was, man, that takes an anointing. Comes up to his, wasn't I sharing this the other night? Comes up to his church, his new church building, and he can't get the doors open because the roof's on crooked. How many of you know that when the roof's been put on crooked in your new church, you have a problem? And then he's looking around, and one bad thing after another. He looks at the sidewalk that they poured, and it was like Wave City. Sidewalks are supposed to be like this, right? That one was like this. And it was hardened, and that was their sidewalk. He spent most of an hour telling us all the crazy stuff. He was in a storm. And then if that didn't beat all, his whole crew quit. And when they quit, they took all the tools, about $65,000 worth of tools with them. And do you know what Brother Arnold told us? He said, I'm still here. You know, he's one of a kind. Please remember him in your prayers. He's had some physical battles of late, but one of the most profound Bible preachers you'd ever hear in your life, going through a storm, but he said, I'm still here. Praise God. Can you operate in the middle of a storm? I got to thinking about our president. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I know he's not perfect. We have had no perfect presidents. Is that okay to say that? Thank you. He's not perfect. He's done some growing. He'll do a lot more growing. But I have never, whether it's a Democratic President or Republican, I have never seen the craziness that we're seeing now that this man has to put up with. All right? There have been many a year when who I voted for didn't get in. And so it became my job once they were elected president. The Bible commands me to pray for those who are in authority. Kings. That's a command, not a suggestion. But let me tell you, this guy gets up. And there's an army of insurrectionists and obstructionists that's being led, over 30,000 they number, against him. Not to mention the media and all of the unfair. And listen, when I say the word unfair, anybody follow this? How would you like to be in the media every day? Somebody bashing you, critiquing you, criticizing you, running you ragged. When he said, I didn't know that it was this hard. You know what it was really saying? I look at him now and I tell my wife, he looks older. Because no president that I know of has had a former president mount up an army of 30,000 plus to resist and oppose everything the new president's trying to get done. I'm not trying to be discourteous. I give honor to God. Nobody's perfect, but he's fighting a battle. But you know what? He seems to relish it. Do you know what they're telling us? There, somebody gave a prophecy not long ago that Mr. Trump, President Trump, is going to receive the Holy Ghost while he's president. Somebody's praying for him. We ought to be praying for him. But I'm telling you, he's in a storm and he just keeps getting up and operating. He just keeps getting up and doing his best. Again, I know he's far from perfect, but now he is our president. And now by scripture, we are enjoined and challenged to pray for him. His safety, that God would give him wisdom, that God would give him favor. God gave him favor in Europe. But this man amazes me in that he can roll out of bed and want to begin another day with gusto and energy because he's learned how to operate in a storm. Just lift your hands and worship the Lord. Would you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, I worship you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise. You have your way in the storm. You know, Lord, there's something happening. You want to bump us up, Lord, to first class. You want to promote us in the storm. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for your kindness. Wonderful Jesus. Praise you, God. Not long after we buried Ember, I was in a phone call with Brother Cisco. Do you remember me sharing this with you? Some are here in the room that have not heard this. And Brother Cisco, I said to him, just days ago when we were in that service that Brother Gleason preached about a prophet in your life. And I walked up to him. He had his walker, which is unusual even to see him with a walker because God has used him to bring healing to thousands of people. I remember him telling the story of hitting a boy on a bike at about 55 miles per hour. Anybody remember Brother Cisco telling that true story? I mean, you know, Andriana had a car accident. She was just going a few miles per hour. Did some great damage to the car, but God was with her. But hit a boy on a bicycle. Pulls over, gets out, gets over there. The boy's bleeding and he's all physically goofed up. And he remembered, Gretchen, the words of T.W. Barnes. T.W. Barnes was to me like a prophet. I know this isn't a non-profit organization. You didn't get that. Okay. See me after the altar call. I'll break down these deep things. But anyway, he said he heard the voice of T.W. Barnes, been one of his mentors in his life. And it was the voice said he'd preached this and he'd heard Brother Barnes say this. When a man of God gets in trouble, he's living right and he gets in trouble, he has the right to expect a miracle from God when he needs one. And he prayed over that broken body. He prayed over that boy that had been on that bicycle that he hit. I think there was a school bus and there was stuff happening. I think he was maybe passing the school bus. He could. It was lawful. But he didn't see the boy on the bike. He said they let the boy out of the hospital 2 days later. He was all right. Come on now. I'm telling you, you talk about a storm, but he used his faith. He kept his heart right. He didn't give up on God. He didn't get angry at God. And God used him, praise God, as a vessel to bring a miracle into a family that maybe God was wanting to use to show them his glory. Can you, can I, can we operate in a storm? We have spent what? How many years have we spent fighting the tax battle here? I have never pastored anywhere, and I've pastored in a number of places through the years, been blessed to be anywhere helping anybody. But I have never had school systems come after us to try to force us to pay. I don't even understand the psychology of that. You know, of school systems coming after churches. Okay, so we have fought, and we fought one. How many times have we fought this battle? We've been in a storm when it comes to taxes. And one time, you say, well, that's just a little, probably something. One time, it was $19,000. And I don't know if you've got a lot of extra pesos in your pocket, but that can buy a lot of enchiladas, if you understand what I'm saying, for somebody else. But we fought that battle, and we asked Jesus to help us. We've had, what, 4 battles or 5 battles? And I said, and every time we get in the middle of one, I said, we're going to win this one too. I say it in Jesus' name. We're going to win this one too. We've won every single one of them. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And it's been stretched over years. But let me tell you, it didn't stop me praising God. It didn't stop me worshiping. It didn't stop me praying. We were going through a financial storm. We just didn't call it that to you. But God stepped in and helped us every single time, because you got to be able to get up and operate when you're not feeling good and stuff is bizarre and you don't get it. But God is still dependable and consistent. Would you worship him with me for a few moments?
Oh my. Yes, Lord. I worship you. Hallelujah.
Oh, God, you're good. He is a faithful God. He will help you. He will lift you. He will inspire you. He'll leave gifts behind in his wake if you'll stay true. Praise God. If you'll stay true and worship him. Sister Chastity, whom we've just kind of adopted Chas. I mean, you know, she's like my kid. She'd probably never own up to that, but she's my kid, really, truth be known. Her kids are my grandkids. And she wouldn't be here if it weren't for that oldest one. That's right. Is that right? But she had the weirdest thing happen to her with this car wreck. The Dinkins had a weird thing happen to them with a car wreck this past year or so. But look at them. They're right here in church worshiping the Lord. It was crazy. It was bizarre. It didn't make sense. It's some of the weirdest stuff I've heard of. But here they are praising God. You know what? If I was God, I'd say, you know, I think I'm going to come over here and just drop some blessings on them. I'm just going to just bless them in Jesus' name. Why? Because they stayed consistent. They took their lumps and they kept on a-coming. Hallelujah. What's the old Timex watch motto? Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Jesus' name. These last 2 trips, did anybody think that we were taking them so we could have a vacation? Because I was talking to somebody this week, and I think that's what they thought. I said, oh, no, 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 no. A vacation. They didn't use that word, but I heard it in their tone. I heard it. And they were like, oh, hey, when you want to take time off like you can, you know, you have the right to do it. So sweet about it. They were thinking I was just taking time off so we can be out of town. I was under so much duress because I wanted to be home with you. Do you know how bad I wanted to go to Virginia? But I got to preach to 800 people morning and night. And one of the most amazing churches I've ever been in. The man that pastors that church has one of the most apostolic ministries I've ever been around. He's Billy Cole's nephew. That might tell you something. Do you understand what I'm saying? I didn't want. Do you know why I went? His wife was having a birthday, and he's the one that spoke at Ember's funeral. And my wife said, honey, they were there for us when we needed them, and now fill out the rest of the blanks. Fill out the rest of the sentence. They were there for us, and now they want us. So how do we say no? Right? Did anybody think we went on a vacation? Listen to this. These two trips, I was fighting five physical battles. And then 3 weeks later to leave and miss another weekend, I've never done it as far as I know in my pastoral career, stretching over 30-some years. Never done that. Be gone a few weeks later, another weekend. I just don't do that. But guess who it is? It's Brian Kinsey in church. All right? A little church of about 1,200, 1,300, something like that. Little church, amazing place, amazing building, amazing man of God. But they invited her to speak at their Mother's Day banquet. And they invited me to come along and preach the service, Mother's Day service. And as honorable, hey, as complimentary as that is. Gina, do you know how badly I wanted to go to Florida? Can you read a zero? Can you see that zero? Really, that's probably a lie. I wanted to go like minus 500. Until that man over there, that businessman that you saw worshiping up here, Brother Dinkins, gave me some wisdom. I said, what shall I do? I need to be here at my pastoral responsibilities. I mean, were calling to me. And he said, I wouldn't let my wife fly to Florida on Mother's Day by herself. And then I got it. Whoa. You know, it wasn't spooky. It wasn't mystical. It's like, well, wow, I'm not even thinking it. You know, sometimes we're not thinking right. The Lord's really dealing with me about this. I had somebody, one of our leaders, say, okay, now, Pastor, I'm going to be gone 4 Sundays in a row. He barely got out of his mouth. And I said, oh, no. Normally, I wouldn't have done it that way. I'd be like, oh, you precious darling. It was one of my leaders. I said, no. I want you now to think like a leader. How can you be gone weeks at a time? I mean, if it's a catastrophe or an emergency, I mean, I understand. Everybody gets that. But it wasn't. Okay. So I said, I want you to think like a leader. You know, I want you to think like a leader. If I'm gone most of the time for quite a while, how do I lead men or lead women or lead people? How can you do that when you're a ghost? All of a sudden, he started, okay, I figured out I can be here this one Sunday, I've gone the next, back the next Sunday, he got it all figured out, and he cut two out of 4 Sundays out. Did he be present? Because I just challenged him to change his thinking. Don't just think like a saint, think like a leader. What would a leader do? Boom, he got it. Sometimes we don't think like leaders. Say, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. First of all, you're leading yourself. If you're not, you should be. Second of all, you probably got family members that are looking to you for leadership. Am I right or am I right? So, what I wanted to tell you is this. I couldn't let her go by herself, especially on Mother's Day. Can you add 2 and 2 and get 4.5? But it was only 3 weeks from the other trip. So this put me in a humongous dilemma. And to add to it, I had these 5 physical battles. What are you saying? I'm saying it was to me, instead of a vacation. Okay, we fly into Panama City, right? Or Pensacola. You talk about white sand and deep blue, beautiful waters, right? If it was going to be a vacation, why did we fly in? What day did we fly in? Friday? And flew out Sunday night. We had to tear out of there, throw our packing together, and tear up. If I was going to go there on a vacation and be that close to white sand and blue, blue waters, I wouldn't be flying out on a Sunday night to get back home to check on you. While I was packing, one of those physical problems erupted. Would that be the right word? And all of a sudden, I needed to take up residence in the restroom. I was so physically messed up those days. And yet, I'm supposed to be getting on a plane, going to preach where I don't want to be, and yet honored, highly, highly honored to be there. What are you saying? I'm saying it might have looked like a vacation to you, but to me, it was a storm. I would prefer to preach to people when I feel great and I don't have any physical problems. Right? Now I'm flying to preach to 1,100 people with all kinds of craziness going on. And if any of it happens while I'm preaching, I really am in a bad way. But I'm just gutsy enough to pull it off. And the Holy Ghost came on us. Use your pastor's wife, our first lady, used her in her teaching ministry. Slap me down 5. I mean, give me. I do that with our kids, our young people. And then they need a chiropractor. They're strong, powerful kids. Used her. Put an anointing on us. Gave me a word of knowledge, put a word in my mouth for the congregation and for specific people in those two congregations. It blew my mind. So sometimes what I'm saying is you could let the storm take you out anywhere you want to if you're just going to be that way. It won't take much. But I want to wear the devil out. I am the servant of the Most High God. And somehow he's going to heal me. I've been on the way to a meeting and said, God, you've got to heal me now because, Lord, I'm sick. And you know, before Gina, I got to the banquet or the service. I got out of the car and I was healed. I got healed on the way, left sick, got there whole, drove home well. Let's praise God. What a God. What a God. He wants to touch you and help you in the middle of the storm when everything is nutty and crazy and there's stacks of the bizarre up against you. Oh my. Hallelujah. Praise God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He has his way in the storm. The storm will develop your character. The storm will toughen your resolution. The storm will put roots in your integrity. In the middle of craziness, when you stay faithful to him. And some of you have been doing this and you could be used as a great example. I think we'll ask Winston Churchill, one of my favorite characters. And he was a character. The lady that said to him, Mr. Churchill. she made some real snide remark. If you were my husband, I'd put poison in your coffee. He said, Madame, if I was your husband, I would drink it. Hard to get one up with Winston. But when the Nazis were coming down on him, and I've been in London, right? bombing London and the air raids. And I've heard stories told by people that were there, you know, and recordings and so on, what it was like to be bombed by the Luftwaffe. It was horrific. So I want to ask you, and I want to ask Winston Churchill, Mr. Churchill, can you operate in a storm? I mean, I've been across the English Channel on a boat, right? It's not very far. It doesn't take very long to cross it from France. They weren't far, that far from Germany and from a conquered France, and especially in the air. But listen to what he said when he gave those radio broadcasts, and people turned on their old-fashioned radios, but they were new then and exciting then. This is what he said. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. And we shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. So my question is, Mr. Churchill, do you know how to operate in a storm? And the answer is a resounding, you better believe I know how to operate in a storm. And I believe single-handedly, it was leadership like Churchill that saved his nation. Lift your hands. God's looking for leadership. Would you lift your hand and ask God? Would you lift your hand and ask God to strengthen you? Hallelujah. God's going to have his way. He's going to deepen your life. He's going to build your character. He's going to bring a new anointing upon you. He's going to leave blessings in his wake. He's going to answer prayers that seem like would never be answered, and they were dying on the vine. God in the midst of a storm. Hallelujah. Yeah. In the midst of a storm, you can still operate. Mark 4, verse 36, and I'm moving toward a close. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Can I tell you what other ships were there? Sonship, relationship, worship, just a bunch of ships that accompanied him. Okay, just thought I'd throw that in. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose. Oh, man. Are you like me when I wake up? You know, it's like, usually I've been in some kind of crazy dream. I don't know if you have the sweet dreams. I have the crazy dreams. And so I get up, it's like, my cat's waiting on me, because we have this little, these rituals we do with the cat, you know. She's waiting for me to give her the treat and you know, take care of, open up the window, and, you know, talk to her, hold her, hug her, talk, kiss her. Okay, we have all these rituals. She's waiting on that night, and I was like, and if my wife is already up, she'll hit me with a question, you know, like, what do you think we should do about thus and thus? And I'm going, oh, man, my head hurts. Give me a few minutes. I'm not even fully awake. And she's already, you know, been up an hour or two. And she's been, you know, she's got Einstein's E equals MC squared all worked out. And she's doing Einsteinian things to every need in the church. And she's bouncing questions off me and everything. And this is my day off. And I'm coming out of sleep saying, whoa, man, I got to come out of this Technicolor nightmare that I've been in, whoa. And she's bouncing questions off of me. It's like, are you kidding me? Give me some minutes to get my head unfogged. Anybody wake up like that? Please, somebody tell me that you do. Please, don't lie, but maybe just exaggerate a little. Okay. So anyway, I mean, she keeps me hopping. She's amazing. Boy, I can't afford to walk through the house brain dead because there's questions and needs and phone calls and jobs. And well, she's a co-administrator. I wonder why, Allison. I wonder why she's a co-administrator with Brother Dick. Because they make two unbelievable administrators. But she wants to administrate at 4:30 in the morning. Ouch. Okay. Oh, man. Watch this. They wake him up, verse 38, and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So I have a question for you, O living, loving, beautiful, awesome Christ. Do you know how to operate in the storm? And the answer is what? Oh, yes, indeed. But read the next verse. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? What was he saying? He was saying, I know how to operate in the storm, and I want you to know how to operate in the storm. And the key to all of it is your faith. That's the key to all of it. Where's your faith? What's wrong with you? You could have done what I did. We have rebuked weather here. You know that. God has given us some unusual miracles to prayer. Who can tell me? Who can say the story? 22 days of straight rain. We had a yard sale. Somebody say yard sale. Gina, lift your right hand. Very good. She's my buddy. Say yard sale, Sister Gina. Yard sale. Sister Christy, yard sale. Yard sale. Every day it rained. No, it's not Portland. No, it's not Seattle. It's Seattle and Portland on steroids. It's raining every day. Right? 22 days of straight rain. We get up in a service. We read some scripture that shows us stuff like this where he rebuked the weather. And we say, okay, now let's pray together. We're going to agree together. We're going to rebuke the rain. They keep wanting to do this yard sale. They can't do it because it rains every day. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over, what was it, Saturday? It rains all the way up to Saturday. Doesn't rain on Saturday. Picks up, I believe it was Sunday, and started raining again. I'm sure that was just a coincidence, right? We rebuked a hurricane in Virginia that was supposed to hit a camp meeting. It wasn't just me. I had everybody praying with me, rebuking a hurricane coming up the eastern seaboard. Should have totally messed up our camp meeting. It didn't. I don't know where it went, but it didn't stop anything we did. And the next day when it was supposed to be just windstorms and rain falling with the wind at 50, 60, 70 miles per hour, we had fellowship on the grounds and was eating barbecued chicken. The next day when it was supposed to hit, where did the hurricane go? I'm not sure. But that's not hard for him to do. See, can you operate in the storm? That's the deal. It's easy to operate when everything's fine. But all of us are going to walk through some storms. Listen to this. Storms didn't scare him. Storms shouldn't scare you. Difficulties, trials, valleys, wrestling matches, struggles shouldn't scare you. They didn't scare him. They didn't scare him, all right? No, oh no, he knew what to do. I heard a man of God say this not long ago. He said, God, I'll never hold you hostage again by my feelings. Wow, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say it that way. I'll never hold you hostage again by my feelings. In closing, King David is one of my favorite characters in the scripture. Of course, he's a figure of Christ. And he was an amazing man, a warrior of the first magnitude. He and his men of Should we say irregulars? Because they all had problems. But he joined them together and made them one army. Went after the Philistines in a valley. Do you know what the valley was called? The Valley of Rephaim. This is so cool. It was called the Valley of Rephaim, or the Valley of the Giants. But he and his band,
his motley crew, God gave them an amazing victory. All right? So he chose to rename this valley. He renamed it, he called it Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim. So it went from the Valley of Raphaim or the Valley of the Giants. He renamed it Baal Perazim. And you say, what does that mean? That's what I want you to hear before we pray. It means the God of the breakthrough. He took the Valley of Giants, Rhonda. And God gave him and his boys a great victory. So he chose to rename the Valley of Giants. And he called it the God of the Breakthrough. Would you worship with me as our musicians come? Oh, God, I love you. I worship you. I praise you, Lord. You are the God of Breakthrough. You are the God. The giants, oh, in your life are no match for a persistent God and a persistent prayer warrior. The giants in your life. I believe that God wants to stage a victory so overwhelming, so fanatically blessed. Place where it used to be given honor to the giants, but now it's called the Valley of the God of the Breakthrough. Praise God. When Cody talked about tobacco and how he took that can of snuff and poured it out and said, God, you've got to help me. I am tired of this. I am tired of this addiction. I forget the exact words, but I think I'm saying it close. And you need to help me. I'm done with this. This is over. And God impressed him, I want you to run 7 times around your store. And what do you think a customer would think coming into a hardware store and here's a dude running around the store? It took faith just to pull that off. I mean, he had us rolling on Wednesday night talking about this. I mean, if you came into, I think, you know what, I think it's a bad time. Hey, God, go get me some coffee. I'll be back. And I don't know what's wrong with that, but I'm going to get some coffee or something. Where's Starbucks? Point me to Starbucks. There's a crazy man in the hardware store. Watch out if you go in there. Nobody came in while he was running, Pat. Nobody came in. Praise the Lord. And now he's sitting up here playing drums because God gave him some victory in the Valley of the Giants. And it became the place of the God of the Breakthrough. Just like God has given so many of these folks who lost their jobs at the same company. Almost every one of them a job. And Gina, isn't there a new one kind of in the works for you? Come up here, Gina. Let's preach together. You are a key person wherever you work. Can I say, Allison, isn't that true? She's not just somebody. She's a seasoned warrior. I love it when she gets happy in the Holy Ghost. She inspires me because she's a prayer warrior. I've watched her operate in the storm. I've seen her, whoa, Jesus. I've seen her pray and worship in the middle of the storm. I've watched her get a hold of Jesus in the middle of the storm. It's an awesome testimony. Can you operate? Yeah. If I asked her that, I know what the answer is. Yeah, Pastor. It's not easy, but somehow, Jesus and me, we pull it off. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody need a touch from God. I wish you could come up here and let her pray for you. If somebody needs a touch from God, if somebody needs a little blessing, oh, hallelujah. Why don't you stand and say, I'm going to step into that. I'm going to keep doing what's right. I'm going to keep praying and worshiping. Oh, praise God, because you're the God of the breakthrough. Would you lift your hands to the Lord right now? Oh, God, in your name. Would you lift your heart to him right now and just shout out faith?
thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet.
Underneath us all, the everlasting arms.
Waiting for change to come. Knowing the battle's won. But you have never failed me yet. Promise still stands. Great is your faith.
God's gonna bump you up to first class. God's gonna bless us in the storm.
Still in your hands.
Hallelujah.
This is my comfort.
Could you give him praise for the storm? Could you trust him to even thank him for the battle? Could you thank him for the battle? Could you say, Lord, I see your footprints in the storm. I see your fingerprints in the battle.
This is my
Lord, your purposes. Oh, you are a mighty God. You are a mighty God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. We are being quickened. We'll believe it. We are being quickened. We are being quickened. We can do the will of God. We can get up on planes and fly and preach when we don't feel like it. And we got five things in our bodies that say you shouldn't go. We can do it because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Amen. And he is our strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. I wish you could take some action today. Could you get out in the aisle and walk with us for a few moments? Praise God and lift your hand and say, God, I need you. I lean into you. I worship you in the midst of my difficult days. I worship you. Oh God, I give you honor in the midst of the storm.
This is my confidence. I can.
I'm going to have a breakthrough in the valley of giants. I'm going to have a breakthrough in the valley of giants. Hallelujah. And the valley of giants shall become